Hi, and welcome back to The Curious Climber. This is Mina, and today this is just a really short episode to introduce a new collaboration that we have entered into with Stephen Dimmitt from The Nugget Podcast. So you've probably come across The Nugget Podcast. It's a great climbing podcast. He has loads of really good episodes, puts out content really regularly, but it's all really good, high quality stuff, interesting conversations, and he's a great host. So he's really good at getting kind of brilliant conversations out of people. So Stephen's been on our podcast, we've both been on his podcast. And during that whole process of getting to know each other, we decided to enter into a bit of a collaboration. So Stephen's a real whiz on all the audio editing stuff. So he's helping us out with that to try and make our podcast just sound a little bit better, be a little bit more of an easy listen for everyone. And in return, we're helping him out with some content. So together we're doing what we're calling reflection episodes that are going to be available on the Nugget Podcast. So essentially they will be a Patreon extra. So it's for people that sign up to his Patreon account, and I'll link to that in the notes of this small episode. So it's $10 a month, and with that you get these extra reflection episodes as well as some recap episodes from Stephen. So with the reflections, it's essentially either myself and Stephen and Hazel, or me and Hazel, sitting down and having a short 10 to 15 minute conversation about various different things. So they'll all be different, and they are what they say on the tin, they're reflections. So we're talking about things that maybe are challenging us at the moment with our climbing or in our life, particular things we might have learnt over the years, or people that have inspired us, turning points, things like that. So this should be pretty interesting. We've recorded a few so far, and I think they've gone really well. Attached to this is the first one, which Stephen's very kindly put out for free to give people a taster of what it's about. And that's myself and Stephen doing a reflections episode. So have a listen to what follows this and see what you think. If you're interested in supporting us and Stephen through his Patreon account, then feel free to go and have a look. All right, enjoy the reflections.
Here with Mina today for a reflections episode. I've got a couple questions for you, Mina. The first one: what is an area of your climbing that you still struggle with, and how do you hope to or plan to work on this moving forward?
Okay, so for me, actually, it's a reasonably kind of broad thing. It's actually basic strength and conditioning. And that sounds like a really kind of non-specific answer, but I think I'm one of those people that got into climbing as a kid and has climbed for many, many years, but was never really that good at any other sport. Not that I didn't try, but I wasn't particularly kind of talented in any other sports. And so I think I missed that kind of general body strength development that you might get through doing other sports and then finding climbing. So I feel like I've always gotten away with having relatively strong fingers, good hip flexibility, good movement skills because I've climbed for a long time, good tactics, you know, that kind of stuff. But actually my like raw body strength, like my core, my shoulders, my leg strength are pretty appalling for how like well I can get up things sometimes. So that's something that I still struggle with, but I'm making a really concerted effort at the moment to tackle it. I've tried before in like fits and starts, and some reasonably concerted efforts before, but at the moment, because I'm postpartum, my son is 7 months old, it's almost like an opportunity, or I'm trying to frame it as an opportunity to start from scratch and build a more solid foundation. Because I think when you're climbing at your best and you're always trying to find that like top 1-2%, you'd think, oh well, you know, go back to basic strength, but I tended not to, because I was always trying to like eke out these top bits of other areas of my performance, maybe improving things that I was already good at and ignoring this kind of gaping hole of, oh well, I could actually just have some better kind of core strength and basic body conditioning.
But in a way, like pregnancy and birth and all the rest of it knocks you back so much that you have this opportunity to go, right, okay, I am literally, or it feels like it at the time, starting from scratch. Obviously, you're not starting from complete scratch, but it seems like a good opportunity to kind of start from the bottom and start from like the inside and build out. So, yeah.
I feel like injuries are really similar to that. Like injuries, it's so often that you see athletes come back better than they were before they got injured. And I think that is very similar to what you're talking about. And that has so much to do with it. Like it's this opportunity to kind of zoom out and reflect and take the time to rebuild some things from the ground up that have been neglected.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like taking the ego out of it as well and being like, oh, well, I used to be able to do X, Y, Z. I can't do any of that now. Or I couldn't initially because, you know, I just had a baby. So somehow mentally it's been easier for me to, you know, go really back to basics and like, you know, squat with just my body weight, but my form is perfect. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I'd have been like, well, I can squat with way more than body weight. So, you know, you turn a blind eye to your form not being perfect. And it's not that my form was always awful, but it, you know, things about the way I did exercises definitely lent towards areas that I was strong. Like for example, my posterior chain is much stronger than my anterior chain. So the back of my body is much stronger than the front of my body. So for example, I was always a lot better at things like deadlift than I was at squat. I was much better at back squat than I was at front squat. Mm. And I tended to pick the versions of exercises that I could load up more. Because in a kind of slightly lost sense, I was like, oh, but that's where I'm going to make the gains is where I can load up more. Whereas now I'm like, right, which is the hardest for me to do? Because that's obviously where my weaknesses lie. I'm going to take that to body weight, for example, and build it up from there with like really good form. Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. That's really great. I'd love to ask, you said that you're making a really concise effort. What does that look like for you these days?
So I'm working with my friend Maddie, who is a coach at Lattice Training. So I also work at Lattice Training. I'm on maternity leave at the moment. But one of the really cool things about Lattice as a company is they're massively about education and development, both kind of in the community, but also within the team that work there. I think it's quite clear that they put out a lot of content for the community, but I think what people don't see is how much in-house goes on. So every coach is allowed to coach someone on the work team. And they're also some of the coaches, the kind of performance coaches, are allowed to coach an elite climber that they have a special interest in. So Maddie has a special interest in female specific athletes and also postpartum. So I'm like a project for her, which is great. So I'm like her work project. And she's been learning loads about kind of training postpartum. And we've done it in conjunction with a women's health physio. I don't know if you have women specific health physios in the States. Maybe there's a different name.
We probably do. It probably has a different name and I'm the wrong person to ask.
You may never need one, funnily enough. But I guess if people don't know what I'm talking about, a women's health physio is someone that specifically looks at kind of pelvic floor health and core health and things like that, either prenatally and postnatally. So it's someone you can go to. I saw this physio during my pregnancy to help me modify the training that I was doing and help me kind of manage increased load and posture and stuff like that. And then also postnatally, you know, she can look at my diastasis, which is like ab separation, and also pelvic floor if necessary, or any kind of issues that you might have post having a baby. So with her and Maddie, and there's also a really lovely lady called Joy, who is actually based in the States, and she's a PT specializing in pregnant and postpartum athletes. And she's also been really, really helpful with the kind of conditioning side of it. So it's been great, actually. I've had loads of help from some awesome women who've kind of taken me on as a bit of a project.
That's awesome. That's amazing to hear. And what is this looking like in your life? Are you able to do a little bit here and there every single day, or do you have specific times of the week set aside for, I don't know if workouts is the right way to frame it, but.
Yeah. So I have a plan from Maddie and we kind of chat about it quite a bit. So it's quite a fluid, you know, flexible changes as we need to change things. But yeah, so I have a certain number of sessions to do each week and we have like an interactive platform that we work on. So I can like log sessions and she can see how it's gone and stuff like that. But I can plan my week. So I know roughly what I've got to do in a week. I also know a reasonable amount about training because I have a decent training history. And so I know how to structure, you know, like I'm not going to do lots of anaerobic capacity and then a strength fingerboard session afterwards. You know, like I know how to, what order to put things in that will be the best way. So I can kind of plan my week, which is great because I can plan it around like Isaac's nap times and things like that. Yeah.
Awesome. Amazing. Anything else to add on that first question that we didn't touch on?
No, I think that's mostly it. Yeah. I guess one of the things I wanted to add is I think I've put a focus on being postpartum, but these are things that I was rubbish at before I had a baby. Ah. So I'm using the postpartum as an opportunity to work on them. They're not all because I had a baby. And I think that's, I guess, like an important point is that I've always struggled with general body strength. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe if someone's listening, like, don't wait until you have a baby to deal with it. Do it sooner.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. I've got a second question for you. What is something that you have learned from a recent podcast episode and how are you integrating it into your life? And of course, this is from your podcast, the Curious Climber podcast.
Yeah. So a recent one actually that I recorded with Andy Cave, who's a mountaineer, Sheffield-based climber and mountaineer, and really, really lovely guy. I've known him for quite a few years, great character, really good storyteller. I really enjoyed that conversation with him. But one of the things that I really took away from it was big picture thinking. So it was really interesting to talk to someone who's had so many different phases in his life and career as a climber. So I think we joke at the beginning of the podcast that like it's Andy Mark one and then Andy Mark two and then Andy Mark three, all these different like phases. So people that don't know him, I mean, obviously feel free to go and listen to the podcast episode, but he worked down the pits when he was 16. So that's the coal mines. Mm. So he had these, you know, really different experiences growing up. And then he had a phase of his life where he was then a mountaineer in the Himalayas doing first ascents and, you know, quite big, intense expeditions. He's also done a lot of rock climbing. He has a family. He's a mountain guide. He's had all these different phases of his life. He's now kind of more into sport climbing and bouldering and he's like training and stuff more now in the kind of, I guess, the modern way that we train for climbing. And I guess it made me step back and realize that each phase in life has its place. And rather than thinking, oh, I do this one thing, which is climbing, and at some point I'm just going to get like worse at it and maybe it'll become less fulfilling, to think, well, there's this phase of my life where maybe I'm young and I'm traveling all the time and I'm like red pointing and trying hard routes and stuff. And then maybe there's another phase in my life where climbing is still really central and important, but it just looks different. Mm. And it's as valuable. It's just like Mina Mark two or Mina Mark three, or I don't know, maybe I'm on number four already. But it made me think of life's experiences a bit more like that. And like for me, I guess I wonder if some of my hardest climbing is behind me. I don't know. It might not be, but it might be. And if it is, that's okay. And if it's not, that's okay too. Mm. So yeah, thinking about a bit of a zoom out, it made me zoom out on life and go, all right, there's just all these different phases. And it made me kind of excited for whatever the next phase is. And then the phase after that, and the phase after that. And yeah.
Mm. That's beautiful. I love that. That reminds me, I was at a family reunion a few years ago and I met, I don't even know who he is, like a second cousin or something, my dad's cousin, whatever that makes him to me. And I could be misremembering some of the details, but the essence of the conversation is that he's had all these different careers in his life. He was in his 60s when I met him and he had decided to go back to school and become a doctor in his 50s. And all of his friends and his family thought that was crazy and like, what are you doing? It's going to take you 8 years to get through medical school. So maybe he started in his late 40s and into his 50s was in medical school. But then he had 10 years as a doctor and it was incredibly fulfilling. And he's so happy now looking back at his life that he decided to totally pivot and invest all that time in something new and still got a decade of really fulfilling work out of it. And he was just describing how you can kind of think of your life in these decade-long careers and how many different ones you can collect and experience in a lifetime. And I love that. It just is fun to kind of think of things that way. And I think of myself as, it helps me not feel locked into what I'm choosing and doing now. This doesn't have to be forever. And I love what I'm doing now, but I could have a whole decade career pursuing music if I decide to come back to that, or other things that I've kind of put by the wayside for now at this chapter. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. Exactly. Yeah. In your chapter right now, you're a mom, you're a new mom, and you're...
Yeah.
How do you see the current phase? What, describe Mina Mark 4, whatever the current one is.
Whatever it is. Yeah, so I guess this phase is like, yeah, totally new and different, having a baby, learning to kind of climb again after having a baby, and going climbing as a family. So we like converted a camper van just before all the COVID stuff kicked off, which was been a total blessing, because when travel's been restricted, we've been able to go around the UK, and then when it's a bit more open, we've been to Europe in our van, and I can see us doing that a lot more with a little one. We did a month in Fontainebleau when he was like 3.5, 4 months old, and it was great. It was brilliant. So I see a lot more bouldering, to be honest, back in this phase, because it's just the easiest thing with him, and also David's much more of a boulderer. And so like family camper van trips, I think this phase will be that kind of thing, which will be amazing. And then I guess the next phase will be like, I don't know what it'll be. It'll depend a lot on Isaac and what he's into. And maybe he'll be into climbing. Like, that would be great. Maybe we'll all go climbing together. Or maybe he'll be into something totally different. David and I will have to like learn to do his thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you'll be projecting Sport Roots at Malham Cove with Isaac. You never know.
Maybe. Yeah. Whew. Giving him all the beta that I can remember. Be like, when I was young, you used to hold that like an undercut. And I used to be able to pull up to that next one. Come and belay me on your warm-up. Don't know why my voice gets so weird.
Yeah, you'll have big dentures as a 50-year-old. Apparently.
Yeah, apparently. I hope to keep my teeth for a bit longer than that.
I'm sure you will. Well, thank you, Mina. This has been incredible. Thanks for being so open and for sharing those thoughts. That was really valuable, I think.
No worries. Nice to chat, as always.